You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today, on the White House lawn, Donald Trump made an important announcement that really affects every American, especially those that are searching for a job. He withdrew from the Paris Accord on climate change. Now, I'm sure some of you are scratching your head, well, how does that relate to climate, someone not having a job? I'm going to play most, not all, but most of his statement. Donald Trump understood that the United States was hurt by that accord. Even though it was non-binding, it was not an agreement that was really supportive of the American worker. And I agree with Mr. Trump, President Trump, that we should put American jobs first. Because the impact, assume that every single country, including the United States, did what it promised to do. What would be the impact on climate? Negligible. And that's the danger of it. You endanger the U.S. economy for a agreement that would have virtually no impact on climate. And that raises a question. Why in the world did President Obama agree to it? Now, China agreed to it because it basically has to do nothing. Nothing. Same with India. And India's commitments were contingent on receiving billions in foreign aid. You see, if you understand that climate has been changing for hundreds of years, climate has always been changing. The issue is man the cause of it? And the answer is that is an emphatic no. There are many causes, one being the sun, volcanoes, and others. There's a long list. I've given that show several times. I'm not giving it today. But there are many causes of climate change, and man is not the primary, secondary, tertiary. You go down the list. The people behind this are the radical leftists that want to ruin the free enterprise market economic system by crippling U.S. industry, by making the prices of energy, electrical power, as well as gasoline, prohibitive. The United States is blessed with coal, oil, natural gas, uranium reserves that can fuel not only our power plants, but our vehicles for hundreds of years. So is Russia. So is Saudi Arabia, Iraq, blessed with natural resources. And we sell many of those resources abroad. Countries have a lot of coal. And if that's all you have is fuel, you're going to use it. And that's exactly what India and China are doing. They're building coal plants after coal plants. Oh, yes, it does pollute the air. And I agree with President Trump. I'm not for dirty air. Have you seen dirty air in the United States lately? I haven't. And there's a reason for it. We did regulate real pollution, particulate matter, mercury, nitric oxide, sulfur oxides and particulate matter, making sure it's at a certain level. And our power plants invested billions of dollars into cleaning that up. I always get a laugh. They show a smokestack with white clouds coming out. That's water vapor. Water vapor. They want to panic you. The Earth is 4.55 billion years old. The temperatures have been going up and down for hundreds billions of years. Man has only been on this planet about 200,000 years. And yes, for most of that history, man was barely surviving, subsisting on it. The Industrial Revolution that started raising the standard of living is only a little over 250 years old. 300 at the outside. Depends when you want to start. And yes, when we initially started to industrialize, we had foul air, just like China does today and India does. But because of advances in medicine, science, technology, innovation, we slowly but surely went from a subsistence, largely agricultural economy, to today we're a service economy. We're not even a manufacturing economy anymore. Look at the statistics. Most of the people today work in the service industry, not in manufacturing and certainly not in agriculture. That's called economic development. It's also called a rising standard of living. It's countries that had a free enterprise economy that today are prosperous. Most of the world, especially those that follow the command and controls under socialism or communism, they tend to be the most polluted, including the former Soviet Union and communist China today. So I applaud President Trump's withdrawing from that so-called Paris Accord. If you look into it, it's largely a joke on the American people. Most people don't follow this, and that's the problem, because all this fear and alarmism is based on computer models that can't predict squat. They're so wrong. And when your models are so wrong, it says you don't know what's going on. You don't understand the mechanism. And we're supposed to base economic policies on that? Junk science funded by governments? It was an attempt to have developed countries such as the United States tax their own people and transfer wealth and income to the poor countries. That's what this whole thing was about. Cut through the science. The science doesn't support this. It was a political activist on the left trying to do that. And more people have wised up to it. You want your electric bills to double or triple? Your gasoline prices to double or triple? Go along with these idiots, the lying lunatic left. So let's play Mr. Trump's speech, and I'll interject my comments as we go. Let me pick it up when he starts talking about,
in order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. But begin negotiations to re-enter either the Paris Accord or in really entirely new transaction on terms that are fair to the United States, its businesses, its workers, its people, its taxpayers. So we're getting out, but we will start to negotiate and we will see if we can make a deal that's fair. And if we can.
They're not going to make a deal that's fair. This is a sop to the people that were trying to convince him to stay in. And I think it's a political mistake. I don't take him seriously on that. I don't think he takes it seriously, because there's nothing we can agree to with these people. They want to wreck the economy. They want to wreck our cheap energy. I wouldn't try to get back in at all. Make them beg us to do something. And if it makes any sense, and it won't make any sense, then maybe we'll see what you have.
Can, that's great. And if we can't, that's fine.
He said it. If we can't, that's fine. Exactly. It's exactly fine. Let them go their ways. You see, the poor nations, I want aid. Yeah, I'll sign anything. A big deal is, oh, we have 193 nations, and a good 80 to 90 of them will go along with anything, especially if they get aid. That's what this is about, transferring wealth from the rich countries to the poor countries. The American people don't support that.
As president, I can put no other consideration before the well-being of American citizens. The Paris Climate Accord is simply the latest example of Washington entering into an agreement that disadvantages the United States to the exclusive benefit of other countries, leaving American workers, who I love, and taxpayers to absorb the cost in terms of lost jobs, lower wages, shuttered factories, and vastly diminished economic production. Thus, as of today, the United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord and the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country. This includes ending the implementation of the nationally determined contribution and, very importantly, the Green Climate Fund, which is costing the United States a vast fortune. Compliance with the terms of the Paris Accord and the onerous energy restrictions that is placed on the United States could cost America as much as 2.7 million lost jobs by 2025, according to the National Economic Research Associates. This includes 440,000 fewer manufacturing jobs, not what we need. Believe me, this is not what we need. Including automobile jobs and the further decimation of vital American industries on which countless communities rely. They rely for so much, and we would be giving them so little. According to the same study, by 2040, compliance with the commitments put into place by the previous administration would cut production for the following sectors: paper, down 12%, cement, down 23%, iron and steel, down 38%. Coal, and I happen to love the coal miners, down 86%. Natural gas down 31%. The cost to the economy at this time would be close to $3 trillion in lost GDP and 6.5 million industrial jobs, while households would have $7,000 less income, and in many cases, much worse than that. Not only does this deal subject our citizens to harsh economic restrictions, it fails to live up to our environmental ideals. As someone who cares deeply about the environment, which I do, I cannot in good conscience support a deal that punishes the United States, which is what it does. The world's leader in environmental protection, while imposing no meaningful obligations on the world's leading polluters. For example, under the agreement, China will be able to increase these emissions by a staggering number of years, 13. They can do whatever they want for 13 years, not us. India makes its participation contingent on receiving billions and billions and billions of dollars in foreign aid from developed countries. There are many other examples, but the bottom line is that the Paris Accord is very unfair at the highest level to the United States.
Further, while the current agreement effectively blocks the development of clean coal in America, which it does, and the mines are starting to open up, we're having a big opening in 2 weeks, Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, so many places. A big opening of a brand new mine, it's unheard of. For many, many years, that hasn't happened. They asked me if I'd go. I'm going to try. China will be allowed to build hundreds of additional coal plants. So we can't build the plants, but they can, according to this agreement. India will be allowed to double its coal production by 2020. Think of it. India can double their coal production. We're supposed to get rid of ours. Even Europe is allowed to continue construction of coal plants. In short, the agreement doesn't eliminate coal jobs. It just transfers those jobs out of America and the United States and ships them to foreign countries. This agreement is less about the climate and more about other countries gaining a financial advantage over the United States. The rest of the world applauded when we signed the Paris Agreement. They went wild. They were so happy. For the simple reason that it put our country, the United States of America, which we all love, at a very, very big economic disadvantage.
I want to interject something here. It was President Obama that signed it. He never sent it over to the Senate. Treaties are required to be sent over to the Senate because he knew he'd never pass it. He was wrecking this economy. He could care less about the American workers that were affected here. And that's the problem with the Democratic Party. They have abandoned the American worker with this nonsense about man is the cause of climate change. Science does not support that. And I'm not talking the junk science funded by the government with people with an axe to grind. It's rubbish. And it's become a religion on the left. The hate America crowd that want to bring down the prosperity of this country, its standard of living, and put millions of Americans out of work. Just like they're flooding this country with tens of millions of unskilled, illiterate, illegal aliens. Cheap labor. The Democratic Party is no longer the party of the American worker. You see it in their immigration, their for open borders, and putting forward and signing this Paris Accord. Just like they want to increase the minimum wage to $15. What does that do? It puts blacks and Hispanics out of work. The unemployment rate skyrockets for them. It's fundamentally racist, just like FDR did in the 1930s. Hundreds of thousands of blacks were unemployed when they put in place minimum wage laws. The Democratic Party is no longer interested and cares about American workers. Instead, they support junk science whose models can't predict anything. They're so far wrong, they're a joke. Yet we're supposed to wreck our energy industry so others that don't have to comply with our tough environmental laws can outcompete us? The elites in this country better watch out, because the American people are waking up to this, wising up to this, that the American worker has been sold down the river by the Democratic Party and, unfortunately, also the Republican Party. Don't expect much change until you have a party that's truly for the American people. And today, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the Democratic Party, and unfortunately, it's not the Republican Party either. Because both of them want to continue open borders. Let's continue with Mr. President Trump.
A cynic would say the obvious reason for economic competitors and their wish to see us remain in the agreement is so that we continue to suffer this self-inflicted major economic wound. We would find it very hard to compete with other countries from other parts of the world. We have among the most abundant energy reserves on the planet, sufficient to lift millions of America's poorest workers out of poverty. Yet under this agreement, we are effectively putting these reserves under lock and key, taking away the great wealth of our nation. It's great wealth. It's phenomenal wealth. Not so long ago, we had no idea we had such wealth. And leaving millions and millions of families trapped in poverty and joblessness. The agreement is a massive redistribution of United States wealth to other countries.
He's right on the money there. He's nailed it. That's what this is about, wealth redistribution, not within the United States. United States wealth to other countries. The American people and the American voters won't stand for that. That's why President Obama never submitted this so-called accord agreement to the Senate. It would have been voted down, handily voted down. President Trump understands it and is willing to speak out on this. And I applaud him for doing it.
At 1% growth, renewable sources of energy can meet some of our domestic demand. But at 3 or 4% growth, which I expect, we need all forms of available American energy, or our country will be at grave risk of brownouts and blackouts. Our businesses will come to a halt in many cases, and the American family will suffer the consequences in the form of lost jobs and a very diminished quality of life.
Again, President Trump has this right. Historically, the United States economy has grown at a rate of roughly 3 to 3.5%. Not recently, not during the 8 years of Obama, certainly not, because of more and more regulations, including environmental, as well as increased taxes. See, with the right economic policies and reduced, including reduced regulation, reduced tax rates, this economy is perfectly able to grow at 3, 4, and even 5%, as it has in the past at roughly 3 to 3.5. But it requires changes in economic policies. If we go along with the lying lunatic left and their climate change nonsense, it would cripple the production of energy in this country. You'd see it in significantly higher electrical bills and gasoline, diesel to power your cars. It's meddling intervention on the federal government by the elites that frankly are incompetent and destroying this country, wrecking it. I go back to FDR. Yeah, he was a four-time president, and we didn't recover from the Great Depression because of his economic policies, his experimentation, until after war was over in 1946, 71 years ago. And Obama was a repeat of FDR. Not as bad, but a repeat. But if we went along with that Paris Accord, we'd be stagnating here on out, taken advantage of by the hate America crowd, by the left that don't believe in free market capitalist system, think they know best as they screw up the economy. The American people are interested in jobs, 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 and they're interested in a peace and prosperity economy, not a warfare and welfare state. And that's exactly what the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have been giving you. It's a two-party tyranny. I was listening to talk radio this morning, and they had a congressman on, Mel Brooks, and it was the Laura Ingraham show. It was random on my part. I was just flipping through channels, quite frankly. But Laura Ingraham tried to pin him down because he was sounding like more and more excuses. But the congressman responded, because what Ingraham was saying, why can't you get anything done, Republicans? You have control of the House, you have control of the Senate, you have control of the presidency. Why can't you get anything done, Republicans? Good question. But he's Mel Brooks, who's running, I think, for the Senate. He's a congressman right now. Laura, I'll tell you why. We don't have conservatives, enough conservatives, both in the House and the Senate. That's a polite way to say we have rhinos, Republican in name only. They're big government Republicans, big government Democrats. They're progressives. They think the answer to society's problems is another law, another regulation, higher taxes. The answer is big government when the evidence has shown repeatedly it's not. You can't every year have deficits over $500 billion and it's going right back up to $1 trillion just like we had when Obama entered office. The answer is not more and more government. Down that road is the road to serfdom. It's a road to totalitarian regimes. First, they want to control your health care, and then they want to control your energy consumption. They're a bunch of control freaks, totalitarians at heart, that can't stand any dissent. Political correctness is about shutting people up. They don't want to hear the evidence that shows that their policies are wrecking this country. And they were wrecking our country, and it still is. Instead of having a growth rate of 1 or 2% in the last 8 years, we could have had 3 or 4, and our standard of living across the United States would have been much higher. A small difference in economic growth, if it persists for a long time, if it's positive, means a much higher standard of living. If it's negative, a much lower standard of living. Ideas and economic policies have consequences. And the consequences are your standard of living and whether or not you have a job. That's why agreements like the Paris Climate Accord were a bad idea for who? The United States. It put us at an economic disadvantage. Why would any president do it? He'd do it if he was a socialist or a communist. And that's what President Obama was at heart. Who did he hang out? Read his books. Marxists. Who was his mentor? A Stalinist. I don't think he was an advocate for free enterprise. Far from it. He wants control by the government. He wants monopoly. He doesn't want competition. The last thing he wants is competition. He wanted to redistribute the wealth not only in the United States, but our wealth to other countries. That's why you have 193 countries applauding. Ladies and gentlemen, the warfare and welfare state in the United States is failing, and it's indicated by the size of the national debt, the size of the unfunded liabilities for Social Security and Medicare, over $200 trillion. And if you go to Europe, there were big supporters of this. The welfare states are also failing there. And they have much higher rates of unemployment there. We should follow their example. Give me a break. Give me a break. Let's continue with Mr. Trump.
Even if the Paris Agreement were implemented in full, with total compliance from all nations, it is estimated it would only produce a 0.2 of 1 degree, think of that, this much Celsius reduction.
I want to emphasize that. And he is absolutely right. He's not making this up. And I've used this example in past shows, so if you've heard past shows, pardon the repetition. Richard Lindzen was I think he's retired now from MIT. I might be wrong. He was a professor of, meteorology. But he understands climate models. And he agrees that this is junk science, by the way. And the reason why people do junk science is the money. The people that fund it are getting the results they want. But he makes a point. Look in your newspaper today. What was the high temperature and what was the low temperature? I'm sitting in Dallas, Texas. It's 1 June. In June, it's hot. It's still not in the hundreds, but just stay put. In August, it'll be in the hundreds, maybe above. And then when you wake up in the morning, it's in the 70s or 80s. You have a range of temperature usually throughout the year, whether it's winter, summer, fall, minimum of 15 to 20 degrees range of temperatures. How do people handle that? Fluctuating temperatures. They do two things. One, they decide, given the temperature, what's the best clothing to wear today. If it's raining, you better have an umbrella. I mentioned that because I was leaving my apartment and it was pouring. So I went back in, got a jacket, and I had an umbrella in my car. But usually in the summer in Texas, in Dallas, it's hot. So people wear shorts, short sleeve shirts. I like polo shirts. I have short sleeves in the summer, in the fall. I have a long sleeve, and when it gets colder in the winter, I have a sweater or a coat. People change their clothing when they have to go outside. We have air conditioning. 100 years ago, 150 years ago, we didn't have air conditioning. But because of the advances in science, technology, innovation, throughout the United States, especially the southern states, including Texas, it's bearable because if you're in your home and it's hot, you turn on your air conditioning. Or if it's the winter and you come in and it's cold, you turn on the heat or turn it up. You adapt to not only weather changes, but to climate changes. And usually the range is 10, 20, some cases 30 degrees from the low to the high. That is the proper response that human beings have been engaging in for hundreds of years. The difference between now and 100, 200 years ago is because of the advances in science and technology, we have electricity to power our air conditioning and heating, and to move around, give us mobility, we have gasoline that we use to power our cars, our trucks, and we need trucks, trains, airplanes to distribute goods and services. We have one, if not the highest standard of living in the planet, largely because up until 1930, the federal government, except when the country was at war, the federal government was small, under 3% in terms of the gross domestic product. Today, routinely, it's 18, 19, 20. It got as high as 24%. Big government is not the answer. We need to shrink down the size of the federal government. And that's my one big criticism of Mr. Trump. He does not address the number one problem facing this country is out-of-control government spending. The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is not another government program, another law. It's smaller, limited government. Much of the prosperity and success of this country from its founding through 1930 was the fact that the individual, not the collective, not the government, was the focus. And people were expected to be self-reliant, not dependent on the government. And that is very much what the political class today want you to be, dependent on the government. The American people largely don't want that. They don't want a welfare check or food stamps. They want a good paying job. But who gets in the way of that? Yes, it is the federal government, the well-intentioned people. Oh, I want a $15 minimum wage. My answer, why not $100? It was so-called well-intentioned, but not very intelligent. They used to be called progressives. Then they changed the name in the 30s for the simple reason progressivism got a bad rap, and now they want to intervene. The arrogance, thinking man is the cause of climate change. And the economic policies they want to adapt would cripple this country, would lower its standard of living. And they think that's a good idea. And I've heard the line, are you your brother's keeper? No, I don't have slaves. I don't have serfs. I'm not my brother's keeper. They want you dependent on government. That's why they interfere in your lives. We need to get back to basics. We need to unchain the economic capabilities of this country by dramatically cutting the size of the federal government as well as taxes needed to support a bloated government. And unfortunately, President Trump won't address it. But let's hear what he has to say on climate.
In global temperature, by the year 2100, tiny, tiny amount. In fact, 14 days of carbon emissions from China alone would wipe out the gains from America, and this is an incredible statistic, would totally wipe out the gains from America's expected reductions in the year 2030, after we have had to spend billions and billions of dollars
lost jobs, closed factories, and suffered much higher energy costs for our businesses and for our homes.
Now, let me ask you, do you want to pay, have an electric bill that's 2 to 3 times higher? Do you want gasoline prices of $6, $8, $10 a gallon? That's what these people want you to have. American people reject this nonsense. But that's where it ultimately leads. That's what they want. And most of that increased prices would be due to taxes. That's what cap and trade was about. They don't care about the American worker, and they don't care about the American people anymore. They have these cockamamie theories, and it is when you look at the evidence. These models leave much to be desired, but it's based on these computer models that can't predict reality. They're so far wrong. So we're supposed to reduce our standard of living, have unemployed Americans. Yeah, if you want to wreck the economy and have millions of Americans unemployed, go along with this nonsense. The American people don't support it, and this is just another reason why they voted for Trump.
As the Wall Street Journal wrote this morning, the reality is that withdrawing is in America's economic interest and won't matter much to the climate. The United States under the Trump administration will continue to be the cleanest and most environmentally friendly country on earth. We'll be the cleanest. We're going to have the cleanest air. We're going to have the cleanest water. We will be environmentally friendly, but we're not going to put our businesses out of work. We're not going to lose our jobs. We're going to grow. We're going to grow rapidly.
We do need to grow rapidly. That means the repeal of Obamacare in a timely fashion, tax cuts in a timely fashion, and yes, dealing with unbalanced budgets. Getting back to the question that was asked to that congressman, why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening? I think the congressman answered it. We have too many Republicans that agree with the Democrats. For all practical purposes, they're Democrats. They believe the answer to all our problems is another government program, a regulation, a tax. I'm for limited government. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. For the simple reason, I've woken up to the fact that your choice is between two parties that both want to increase the size, the scope, and the role of government. Now, some talk conservative, but they vote like progressives because that is in fact what they are. I call them rollover Republicans. The Democrats say roll over, and the Republicans say how many times? We should have repealed and replaced Obamacare on the very first day, maybe the second, that Donald Trump was in office. We should have had an agreed to tax reform. But when you look at the abomination that the Republicans in the House have come up with this revenue neutral nonsense, to reduce taxes, we have to have a new tax. Hello, that's the problem. That's the leadership. The border adjustment tax, that's not going anywhere. But that's coming from the leadership in the House. And the balanced budgets, oh, they like to talk about that in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They couldn't balance a budget to save their lives. And that includes this president. Economic policies have consequences, whether you have a job as well as your standard of living. And if you think the government is the answer, just look at the last 8 years. Just look at the last 8 years. Economy growing between 1% and 2%, when it should be growing between 3% and 4%, at least get back to the trend of 3.5%. We're barely going at half speed. Government is the problem, and it won't leave the people alone, and the American people are waking up, and they're getting a clue that don't expect any change and very little hope until you have a third party, a successful third party, that truly will limit the size of government.
I think you just read, it just came out minutes ago, the small business report. Small businesses, as of just now, are booming, hiring people. One of the best reports they've seen in many years. I'm willing to immediately work with Democratic leaders to either negotiate our way back into Paris under the terms that are fair to the United States and its workers, or to negotiate a new deal that protects our country and its taxpayers.
The only thing I would say is forget it. They're not going to cooperate. They're trying to impeach them and throw them out of office. And big lie media is putting the propaganda out, and that's what it is. It's not news. It's not facts. It's propaganda. They're trying to overthrow this government. It's disgusting what they're trying to do. But that was the plan from day one.
So if the obstructionists want to get together with me, let's make them non-obstructionists.
It's not going to happen. They are radical leftists. They don't want any part of President Trump or a free enterprise market capitalist system. That's anathema to them. They want socialism. They want communism. They call themselves progressives to hide it from you. But that's what they're about. And most of the European nations are the same way. You can't negotiate a deal when there's no middle ground. They don't want the United States to be a world power, a successful and prosperous United States. They view it as a zero-sum game. Someone wins, someone loses, instead of both benefiting. I'll play one more minute or so, and then I need to move off this to the Hillary Clinton blame tour.
We will all sit down, and we will get back into the deal, and we'll make it good, and we won't be closing up our factories, and we won't be losing our jobs, and we'll sit down with the Democrats and all of the people that represent either the Paris Accord or something that we can do that's much better than the Paris Accord. And I think the people of our country will be thrilled, and I think then the people of the world will be thrilled. But until we do that, we're out of the agreement.
Well, he got one thing right. We're out of the agreement. Let me make clear. Donald Trump is a liberal Manhattan Democrat. Let me say it again for some that can't believe that statement. I'm from New York City. Most people in New York, not all, but most, are Democrat. They've been Democratic voters. Now, there have been Republican mayors and governors. I understand that. But for much of his lifetime, including right now in the White House, he likes the New Yorkers, and they're liberal Democrats, just like Donald Trump is. I understand that. Donald Trump is not a conservative. He's certainly not a libertarian or classical liberal. He's just another big government guy. But he understands business. He understands what's good for business and what's terrible for business. That's why he's taking us out of this. He knows a bad deal from a lousy deal, and he knows how to negotiate. And fortunately, he is still for the American worker, and for much of his history, that was the Democratic Party. Not anymore. Not anymore. They're interested in power and control. Control over you and what you can do. That's why they want more and more government. Now, I'm going to move off this story, but it is the story of the day. No doubt about it. To go back, because I really didn't have enough time, and I'm running out of time, quite frankly, but I wanted to at least spend a little bit more time on Hillary Clinton's blame tour. She's giving speeches. As a matter of fact, I think she's just finished one. But yesterday, she was at, and for the life of me, I don't know why they invited this lady. It was a code, I want to get the name right. There was a conference. Programmers, people in technology. You have various conferences all over the United States. And you had one that invited Hillary to speak, and they asked her some questions. It's CodeCon 2017 Forum. That's who she spoke with. And I want to play some of it and give you my reactions to it, just like I did for Trump. It's interesting, her answers. Let's just start it. I want to go jump a little ahead.
More persistent effort to try to literally turn the clock back on so much of what we have achieved as a country.
So talk about the weaponizing of it, because one of the things that's interesting, now you've recently, and we've talked about the uses of Facebook, the uses of, we can get into Donald Trump's Twitter thing in a second, that's because that's a whole, that could be a whole conference essentially.
Right.
But how do you look at, how do you see how it was weaponized? And it begs the question, why weren't you weaponizing it? Like, why is the right wing so good at it?
And not just you, but
and not just saying
the
we,
Democrats.
The
yeah.
Democrats.
Yeah. Well, Look, here's how I see it, and you know, I hope others will jump into this debate in the months ahead, because there's a lot that we have to understand if we're going to avoid this continuing assault on our sources of information. Here's how I think about it. You know, I was very proud of my data and analytics team. They were largely veterans of the Obama campaigns, 08, 12, and then we brought in new people and brought in a lot of, you know, new expertise to build the sort of next generation. And we had a lot of help from some people in Silicon Valley as well. And what we thought we were doing, here's the arena we were playing in, was going to like Obama 3.0, you know, better targeting, better messaging, and the ability to both turn out our voters as we identified them and to communicate more broadly with voters. Here's what the other side was doing, and they were in a different arena. Through content farms, through an enormous investment in falsehoods, fake news, call it what you will.
How about lies?
Lies are really, that's a good word too.
I'm going to interrupt here. Who's putting out the fake news? The media, largely, this is why I call them big lie media, was behind Hillary Clinton. The big lies were propagated by your television networks and your newspapers that were all for Hillary Clinton. She had the money advantage. She had media on her side. He had the current president of the United States on her side. And she still lost because those right wingers were doing it better than us.
The other side was using content that was just flat out false. And delivering it in a very personalized way, you know, both sort of above the radar screen and below.
Excuse me. This lady wrote her thesis in college on Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radicals. One of the rules of radicals is you personalize your opponent. You marginalize, personalize, demonize your opponent. Read Rules for Radicals. I don't have time to get into it. She knows what she speaks of, because her campaign was largely negative campaign ads on now President Trump. It wasn't on her great economic ideas. She didn't have any, really. It was a trash campaign, a negative campaign, and it didn't work. It usually does work. That's why they usually do it. They demonize the opposition, and they lie about them. You better believe it.
And I, you know, look, I'm not a text expert by any stretch of the imagination.
She's telling the truth there.
That really influenced the information that people were relying on. And there have been some studies done since the election that if you look, let's pick Facebook, if you look at Facebook, the vast majority of the news items posted were fake. They were connected to, as we now know, the 1,000 Russian agents who were involved in...
She's blaming the Russians. The Russians were responsible for this. No. Well, she mentions it a little bit later. I think there are several reasons why she lost. One, she was lazy, and I think sick. She was off the campaign trail. If you're running for president, you're running 2, 3 or more events every single day of the week. You don't stay home for whatever reason. I think it was illness. But the other reason she wasn't really competing with Trump is she wasn't getting the attendance at the events that Trump was getting. Trump was getting thousands, in some cases tens of thousands, and she was getting, on a good day, 100 or 2. She had to bring in stars to get a crowd. They weren't for her. And one of the problems is she went very far left in the primaries, very far, because she was competing against Sanders, a socialist, and Sanders was beating her. And if it were a fair primary, Sanders would have got the nomination, and he would have lost going away.
Delivering those messages, they were connected to the bots that are just out of control. We see now this new information about Trump's Twitter account being populated by millions of bots. And It was such a new experience. I understand why people on their Facebook pages would think, oh, Hillary Clinton did that. I did not know that. Well, that's going to affect my opinion about her.
And if if people didn't know about you, it's your problem, lady. She never takes responsibility. It's always someone else that she wants to blame. She has media, I call big lie media. The television networks and the newspapers were largely all in favor of Hillary. She had the money advantage, a sitting president advantage, although, quite frankly, many people were tired of president after 8 years, especially if they were unemployed. She likes to say, well, I was responsible for your campaign. Okay, if you're responsible, why didn't you do something about it? The lady, the interviewer, asked the question, well, why didn't you do something about it?
And we did not engage in false content.
That's a lie.
We may have tried to put every piece of information in the best possible light.
Yes, and when you do that, it's a lie. Now, I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up, and I will. And I really didn't do justice. I could do another 10 minutes of it. I'm going to let it lie because it's not playing well with the American people. She's not a good loser. She's a sore loser, and she's blaming anyone but herself for losing. You don't call half the voters of this country deplorables and then add insult to injury, call them irredeemable. You don't lie about your crimes regarding your email and email servers and calling it a nothing burger. It's beyond a nothing burger, Mrs. Clinton. It was criminal behavior that you were engaged in to cover your tracks. And the American people don't believe you anymore. You have a long record of lying. They don't trust you. They don't believe you. They rejected you. That's hard to take for any individual. And she thinks this is going to maybe relaunch her in 2020? No. She had her chance. She blew it. She was responsible. Stop blaming everything and everything but yourself. Donald Trump has a favorite word that describes you. You're a loser. And the American people don't vote for losers. They vote for winners. Now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.